Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Howdy, hour number two, coming live from our Quicken Loans studio, National Mortgage Lender. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. On this Wednesday across the country, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206. As we get ready for Atlanta, still a couple of days before we head out. I'm heading out on Sunday, as is Samter. Teague's going to meet me out there. You're coming in Tuesday night?
Wednesday morning.
Wednesday morning.
Yeah, I'm going to do my show for Monday and Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Wednesday is a dark day for us on Broadway. Then be there for 2 days. 3 days.
Okay. I think Atlanta's going to be good. Oh, by the way, I heard today that they're actually thinking about keeping the roof open.
Really?
Yeah.
It's not going to be horribly cold.
No, but it's not going to be that nice. It's going to be like 47, 48 degrees.
But
is that something you keep
actually,
the roof open?
That's actually perfect weather, though. If it's like mid-40s, it's perfect weather for a football game.
Yeah, I hear you.
From a player standpoint.
No, I know what you mean.
Not from a fan standpoint.
No, not for the fans. No. I wouldn't think so.
Yeah.
Looking forward to seeing that stadium, man.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty nice.
The challenge is, like, if you keep – I always wonder about this, like, with stadiums that are indoor or have that option, mm-hmm. and it's freezing, and so you have, whatever, a bomber coat, and it's
– As a fan, you mean?
As a fan, uh-huh. and they're huge.
Yeah.
Like, what do you do with it?
You sit on it.
But
yeah, it's going to get dirty. You're going to get dirty, beer spilled on it. Something's going to happen. You might lose it if you drink too much.
Because I'm thinking, I'm like, do they have I haven't been to games enough to know this. Like, do they have coat checks for the fans?
At a game?
Yeah.
You know what's funny? As much as I'm like mystified that you would ask the question, the modern stadiums now, you might.
Seriously,
you might.
Right?
I know at MetLife, when you go to a Jet game, if you're in a club, you can.
Clubs, definitely.
Does somebody come to your seat? Sir, you know.
Here's your claim ticket.
You know, no, section 312 up in the up. Sir, you know, here's your coat check ticket. No. No, I don't think that they have that. I mean, do they have a designated area that
I have no idea. I'm asking
not.
Seriously. I have no idea.
Oh, I hope not. That would be like the last. Oh, that would be Fonzie. That would be Fonzie hopping over the shark.
The shark.
It's time to recalibrate if they start throwing out coat checks.
Yeah.
At stadiums. I don't mean in the clubs. That's expected.
Mm-hmm.
You know, highfalutin crowd, a lot of money.
You're right.
Instead of beer, you're probably having a little Mai Tai, which I would never have at a football
game.
Well, champagne, mm-hmm. I would never have that either.
I can tell you though, BT.
Bloody Mary, I might if it's early enough.
Some of these suites in these new stadiums.
Yeah.
You don't feel like you're at a football game. Like
I know.
Like, you don't feel it.
Ah.
If you're 10 or 15 steps back from the front of the football side facing of the suite, mm-hmm. and you're back, you don't feel like you're at a game.
No.
Like, you don't even hear it. You don't. It's disconcerting.
That's not good, though.
It's
terrible.
Exactly. It's disconcerting
terrible.
In a sense. Because you get caught in a conversation, you're like, "Oh wait, there's a football game going on down there."
I hear you.
Yeah, I don't necessarily love that.
No, I don't like
that
either.
I know why they do it, because there's event space and you can do other things there when there's not. But it doesn't feel right.
No, it's got its benefits. No line for the bathroom.
True.
Better food spread.
Good point.
You know, there you can put your coats. You're not going to lose it.
Yeah.
Put whatever you want. I told you, we went to the Billy Joel concert. When did we see Billy? I want to say it was right before we moved, maybe. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was like 3 weeks ago.
December 16,
yeah,
December 17, something like that with my in-laws. It was awesome.
Oh, wow, is that long ago?
It was. Yeah, I guess it was. About a month
or
so
moved
ago.
Before Christmas, man. It's like.
It's been a lot.
This month has absolutely flown by. I can't believe it's already February.
Yeah. It. If you told me it was July 9th today, I'd be like, that sounds about right. I mean, moving at the holidays there's a lot to juggle, but it's all good. We got through it. And so we go to the Billy Joel concert, and we were in a suite. Jen used to work at the Garden. She sold the suite. And for a concert, and she knows the person that she sold the suite to, and they were kind enough to hook us up. It was great. And if you're at a concert, that's one thing. But I know what you mean. You're in the suite, and you're in the bowels of the Garden. Now, some of these suites actually have windows where you can see the court.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Or the stadium. But this one, you actually had to walk through a tunnel to get to the court,
yeah,
because it's got a seat that's assigned with the club.
Yes,
separate.
Yes.
And I could, you could totally get lost there. Like, you go to a game, you're like, yeah, Knicks are down by nine.
Yeah, have a scotch. You're like, I'm not going back out there.
That happens to a lot of people.
I believe it.
And the ambiance really suffers. So, but I did see that. I heard that today, and I looked at the weather. I'm like, what is it going to be, like 72? And now we're really playing golf in Atlanta. No, 47, 46 degrees.
Yeah.
Okay, that doesn't seem like we should really open the roof for that, but
you know what the best stadium is though in the NFL? Jerry World.
Unless you call Beasley, he's not really digging it these days. Well, he might like the actual structure of the stadium.
Yes.
I don't know if he's actually enjoying what could be his former employers. He's a free agent, and
he's kind of got to be a former.
I don't know. He's an SMU kid. He played locally there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jerry, I don't know. If Jerry thinks he could help him, I don't know that Jerry would hold the grudge. But Jerry's about winning.
But he's kind of throwing
shade at Jerry.
So if you missed this, Cole Beasley got tweeted at by someone who basically said, oh, I don't know if I want you back next year. Whatever, a troll. Half a troll.
He said, torn between wanting,
because
people need to understand this. Yes. So let me read this, and then you, Evan Bennett, @Evan_Texas. Torn between wanting Beasley to stay in Dallas and also wanting to see him make the money that he deserves and jump into a system that's going to utilize his skills, hoping the Cowboys can make both happen. That's a nice fan for you.
Yeah.
Try to get Cole Beasley paid and get the football.
And then,
nice.
I mean, Cole was, I don't think he was being.
Compared to what's usually on Twitter.
Yeah, you're right. I don't think he's being mean here.
Talk about Cole now.
Yes. I think he's being honest.
Practical, pragmatic.
Practical. So
I would agree.
The question is, how do you value a guy like Cole Beasley, who...
Well, first, let's at least give you the responses here.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So as you think about Cole Beasley, like, what's his value? And he's a good slot receiver. He can catch those crossing routes. He's tough.
He is tough.
He's a hell of a locker room guy because he raps.
Yeah.
And all the brothers...
You got a white guy who raps,
you're
down.
All the brothers, man.
They love you.
I'm telling you. And so... his value.
And raps well, by the way.
Very well.
I mean, he was spitting out some fire. His lyrics were pretty good.
I liked his album.
Hey, pull that up, D-Cell, before we get out. You know, pull something up for me.
And so when you think about to the fans' tweet, what's he worth? I mean, you're not paying him $15 million.
No.
Right? Because his production just doesn't show that.
Nope.
Right? Look at it. 600 receiving yards, 670 receiving yards, only 3 touchdowns, 65 receptions. It's not like superstar. But here was his response. Quote, honestly, the front office pushes who they want to get the ball to, because the question is, well, you're not productive enough.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes on to say, I haven't been a huge priority in that regard. Maybe that will change, but I'm not sure. More balls, and this is absolutely
This is an interesting statement right
and
here.
This is absolutely true. More balls come my way in a 2-minute drill where nothing is planned, because Dak Prescott knows this dude's reliable.
Yeah, he's quick out of breaks.
Exactly.
He's in that phone booth. He's going to get open.
Exactly. He's going to get separation.
Yeah.
If I put the ball where it's supposed to be, he's going to make the play. And he gets targets in 2-minute hurry-up type offenses. But when it's planned and scripted and everything else, they're not looking at him.
Mm-hmm.
And so who is that an indictment on? Is it an indictment on Jason Garrett, Scott Linehan, or Jerry Jones sitting up on high saying, we got to get Zeke the ball. We got to get Gallup the rock. And then after we got Amari Cooper, man, we got to throw some balls down the field to Amari Cooper. Like, where does the responsibility come to not only produce a winning product?
Yep. Justify some of the moves they've made.
Exactly.
I got you.
And justify their moves versus, man, we need to just get first downs and move the change. And Cole Beasley does that for you.
Mm-hmm.
But it's only in 2-minute offense type situation.
Right.
It's an interesting dynamic
that's happening. It is.
With this Cowboys team right now as they move on from Scott Linehan and rethink what this offense needs to morph into.
Mm-hmm. I would really love to know exactly who he's talking about. I mean, is it just?
It's got
to
be Jerry Jones, right?
Well, I mean, but in terms of who they want to get the ball to.
Oh, no, yeah.
Like, was it also Dez? Because if it's Amari Cooper, that's interesting, because that would. On a lot of levels, that would probably apply to Jerry Jones. You give up a first-round pick to get Amari Cooper. We've got to justify this with the with the production that is equal to what we gave up in the draft coming up. Yeah. So let's if Amari's numbers look good, in essence, we look good because we pulled the plug we pulled the trigger on the deal midseason.
Which it did. Ultimately, it was a great deal.
No question. I wasn't sure about it, and me I was either. Wrong. I didn't love the move right away. It felt a little desperate.
Yep.
But I came full circle, and I acknowledged I was off on that. He made that team better, no doubt. Made Dak better.
Let's look at the targets. So, interestingly, receiving targets.
Uh-huh.
Number one targeted receiver. And I think also the number one reception reception leader for the Cowboys, Ezekiel Elliott, which makes sense.
Yeah.
Right? Because they're
like Saquon for the Giants, exactly. Similar, although Saquon's twice as good catching the ball.
Agreed.
You know what I mean.
Interestingly, number two
is Beasley. Yeah, but Cooper was there for half the season.
Yeah, true.
Gallup's a kid.
Amari Cooper was there for 9 games and had 9 less targets.
How many targets did he have exactly?
76, Amari Cooper.
Beasley he had about a buck. So he had a little less than 160 or so if you were actually about 145.
Yeah, 145.
If you prorate that.
Yeah, which is in the course of 16. Beasley had 87.
Uh-huh. Well, Cole Beasley's not as good as Amari Cooper.
I mean,
so maybe we just need to realize that, or at least throw the possibility out there that a lot of this is coming from his inability to fairly evaluate himself.
True.
I mean, is Cole Beasley maybe a little bit too much in love with? I like Cole Beasley.
I do too.
But is Cole Beasley feeling Cole Beasley a little bit more than he should?
Maybe, but at this point he should.
Why?
Because he's 30
years old.
He's trying to get paid.
Oh, yeah, no, I have no qualms about trying to get paid. But this is a unique way of trying to get paid.
I agree.
Everybody wants to get paid.
Yeah.
Everybody. But taking shots at a franchise that gave you a chance when, you know, let's face it, you know, you show up at a combine.
Yeah.
You're not physically imposing. You're not, you know, going to rip off a 40 that it knocks anybody's socks off.
Yeah. I think
158 pounds, whatever you are.
I think the bigger issue.
They gave him a chance.
And it's hard because you dig through stats, right? And you try to come up with, what's he talking about? There's two guys that were targeted a lot also. Michael Gallup had 68 targets. His catch percentage was less than 50%.
Yeesh.
The average is like 60 in the league is like 68 or 70%.
50%
is
bad.
50% is horrendous.
It's like hitting .209 in baseball.
Exactly.
That's bad.
Alan Hearns also had a bunch of targets. Not a bunch, but he had 35 targets. His catch percentage was 57%.
Mm.
And so between those two guys who had, you know, almost 90 or so targets, and about a 50% catch percentage, are those wasted throws?
But I'd like to see the catch radius. Is it on Dak or is it on them?
And
it's probably on both,
but
what is the percentage that you would apply it to?
That's a good question. That's advanced stats.
Think about how
NFL hasn't gotten into yet.
True. That's true. But think about how bad Dak looked. Week one, they were in Carolina.
Right, overthrowing.
Remember that? They were shut out the first. I think they got a garbage touchdown late. They made it like a... I feel like they made it. Maybe they lost by 8, 20-12. I don't know why that sticks out. I could be totally off.
Mm-hmm.
But I know they had nothing in the first half, and then they had a little late rally.
Yeah.
We got on the air the next day. 16, we're like, Dak Prescott looked atrocious.
16-8.
16-8.
Yeah, and then they had the game in Indy where they got donutted.
Yep.
Right? So 23-23 zip. So part of it probably is on Dak.
Of course, because if it wasn't, I don't think any of us would have any questions about Dak.
No, you're right.
While he silenced some, somewhat, by winning a playoff game and, you know, making some plays against the Rams for sure.
Yeah.
And I think we all think Dak is the guy. I think what we debate is how much do you want to actually commit to him, whereas I think after that, you know, that Carolina game, at least to start his second year, I'm saying,
I'm not impressed with 138 yards and a turnover.
Yeah, exactly. Diesel, what was that? Say that again, but I couldn't hear you. I'm sorry. What was that?
No, I was just saying that we have Greg Anthony next.
Oh, Greg Anthony.
You like Greg?
he's politely telling you, let's break and go to basketball.
That's his job, though. I have no problem with that.
As opposed to Samter, who, when you talk back to him, just completely ignores you.
Well, yeah, I mean, first of all, you got to hope that Samter's even on a webpage that applies to sports. I mean, 50-50. What's Samter doing back there? No, D-Cell's doing his job. That's a Samter. Listen, we all know I like to talk. I get a little long-winded. I can miss some breaks here. I like to talk, but when it's time to move on, it's time to move on.
Yeah, shut it up, because I got to do my minute, too, so be quiet.
That's a little break here. Got Greg Anthony coming up. What we will talk to Greg about, amongst many NBA issues, the Grizzlies have a couple of players, and I mentioned this to start the show, Gasol, good passer, big man. Connolly, he's healthy. His foot's okay, can score. Mm-hmm. Great locker room guy as well. Grizz are going to make some moves. What teams should go after him? And can they make a good team a championship contender? We'll do that coming up. Bruce Arians' third hour right here on Tiki and Tierney.
This is Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
That is CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line. It's 1-855-212-4227. It's brought to you by GEICO. Hey, everybody, quick way to save money. Switch to GEICO. Homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance. Get it all at GEICO.com. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206. All right, let's flip it over some hoops. You know we're always good for that. And a chance to chat with our buddy from TNT, Turner, NBA analyst, former running rebel, long time in the NBA, lefty, tough defender. You didn't mess with Greg. Greg was tough. Greg was feisty. Greg Anthony is with us here on Tiki and Tierney. What up, Greg? How you been?
Hey, I'm doing great, guys. How are you today?
Good, man. What's happening? You okay? Everything all right?
Everything is good, man. You know, I'm back up walking. I had a little surgery a little while ago, but all is well.
Oh.
All is well. I'm excited. I'm getting close to the All-Star Game, Super Bowl coming up.
Yeah.
Hall of Fame inductions. A lot of good stuff. You guys are busy today, I bet.
We're always busy. Hey, listen, Greg, if you're not busy, you're not working, man. You know what I'm saying? We always try to get our hustle on, Greg.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, T, do you know that, I don't know if I mentioned this last time, Greg's son, Cole, is, and I know, Greg, you're humble about this, one of the top five players in the country?
He's a good player. He's got a chance to be a good player.
He is. Yeah, you don't want his head to get too swollen in there, but
yeah,
trust me.
You don't want to put him on blast.
Legit.
And, like, have him start thinking too good about himself.
You got to send him to St. John's, Greg. We got to get the Johnnies going.
Well, I thought they're having a pretty good year.
No, they are. They are. Chris is doing a good job.
They've had some tough losses, but. You
know, tell me about it.
That's expected.
Yeah. I hear you.
Hey, Greg, let me ask you about the trade deadline that's coming up in a couple weeks here. There's a couple of teams to talk about, one being the Lakers because of where they sit. But we started the season talking about, at least BT and I, and I think a lot of people, other people as well, how weird this roster was. There's a bunch of young guys, a bunch of old heads. You know, can it mix with LeBron in the middle? LeBron's been banged up, and they're sitting just outside of the playoff picture right now. What type of player makes them viable if they should try to go pick someone up at the trade deadline?
You know, the biggest issue they've had is injury.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you got to think about it. Rondo basically hasn't been there for an extended period of time.
Yep.
You know, Ball has dealt with his injury. You had Ingram out for an extended period. Obviously now LeBron being out. And so if you just go back and look at them when they were basically a healthy group, they were a 4 seed. So, you know, I don't know that I'm in a rush to make a major move because I don't want to eliminate my flexibility in the offseason.
Yeah.
A. And B, I still want to give these young guys an opportunity to see what their ceiling is.
Yeah.
You know, I think Kuzma is the one guy that's maybe separated himself a little more than a couple of the other younger players in terms of being a part of the solution moving forward. But I think it's probably too early to give up on a Brandon Ingram or Alonzo Ball. So I think they're trying to weigh the opportunity when now. And I think it's changed somewhat, too, because I think coming into the season, no one saw the chaos and the parity that you have in the Western Conference. You know, like, I think the fact that it Golden State's still the creme de la creme. They're the team to beat. But if you're the Lakers, why can't we beat everybody else?
Yeah,
you know,
I agree.
They have to feel like in a 7-game series with LeBron James, they can beat anybody else 4 times. And if you do that with that roster, you really set yourself up to be a major player with the A-list free agencies in this upcoming offseason.
Yeah.
So, like, it's a tough call because if you pull the trigger. First of all, you can pull a trigger and it not work.
That's a good point. That's a good point. But also, Greg, you don't want to wait. I mean, how much longer of LeBron at his peak do we have? So, like, I understand. Yeah, you can wait a year. We don't need it right now. But what happens if, like, next year is that year that LeBron steps off the cliff? I don't think it's going to happen, but you never know. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you don't know that, and it's tenuous if you're – Magic Johnson and Rob Pelinka right now because you don't know, but you also have to assume that he's unlike any other guy we've seen in our league. You know, we've never had a guy in his 15th or 16th year be the unquestionably best player in the league.
Yeah.
You know, that's never happened before, even with the all-time race. You know, at this point, they're just hanging on. Generally speaking, they're not really relevant in terms of the big picture, the big landscape of the game. So, listen, I will say this. It's also a good problem to have.
Yeah.
Because this is still a business. And, listen, he's shown this year that when he's right, the Lakers are relevant. And again, because there's Golden State, and remember this too, there's a reason why Kevin Durant signed a one-year deal last year. There's a reason, because there's a very good chance he won't be there next year.
Yeah.
So now what happens in the Western Conference if Kevin Durant not with Golden State?
True.
You know, so, like, there's no, you know, that roster I do not believe will be similar to what we see this year. I really firmly believe that Kevin Durant won't be. And there's no inside information, and I don't even know that he knows it, but I just have a sneaky suspicion. And I've said, listen, there's a reason. Like, when LeBron came to L.A., he signed a four-year deal. When he went back to Cleveland, if you remember, it was 1-1.
Yep.
So there was always the thought that in his mind, he left open. There's a reason why. Kevin Durant's not going to get more money by signing the one-year deal. You know, he's already met all of the criteria you need to get the Supermax. So he did that. In essence, it wasn't so much about the money. It was about the leverage and him being able to control where he wanted to go next season.
Okay. We're talking to Greg Anthony, NBA analyst, Turner Sports, and he's with us here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. 12 years in the NBA, UNLV, of course, point guard, lefty. All right, let me ask you this here. You know, we don't talk a lot about Jamal Murray, and we don't really talk a lot about Denver because I don't think anybody truly believes that they're championship viable at this point. I know they're good. I know they could score. I know they've got players. But I read this really good article, ironically, today, Greg, about Murray. You saw that?
Yes, I did.
Wow. About how his dad was a martial artist and he raised him. I mean, basically pushed him like, I mean, you think Rocky when he went to Russia to fight Drago? I mean, that's what I envisioned as I'm reading this article as he's training for basketball in Canada. It was an amazing look into his soul and his spirit as a competitor. Who are the Denver Nuggets? Is this just a little blip, a little fun dance, or are they beginning to make their mark and going to be around for a long time?
Well, I look at this team. Let's go back a few years. Let's go back to the year that the Warriors won the championship. Going into that season, there isn't one person who thought they would be world champs. Not one. There was never any discussion about them being that team. And what happened was those young guys said, why not? Why can't we be? And things kind of fell into place for them, you know, because people saw, well, there were injuries. Yeah, most championships that are won, there are significant injuries that play a role. And everything fell into place for them, and they end up being the world champs. And you look at Denver coming into this season, nobody thought that they would be, at this point, the one seed or basically tied for the one seed in the Western Conference. Jokic, his ascension as a top-level player. You also look at the growth you just talked about with Murray. And remember this, too, with this group. You don't talk about injuries. They've had as many as anybody. You know, they've had major guys. You know, Barton, he missed, I think, 30 games. Gary Harris has missed a stretch. They also, Millsap has missed significant time. They've had a lot of significant players who've been out, yet they've been able to still win a lot of basketball games. And when you win, and Tiki, you know this as well, confidence is everything in sports.
Yeah.
It's not really talent that separates the best players, from the, generally speaking, from the 10th best. It's the confidence and the consistency with which you can perform. And this team, with every game, they get more confidence. They get more belief. And you're seeing it across the league with a lot of young. Look at Sacramento.
Sacramento, the Nets.
Again, look at these young teams, because these young guys are different than the guys. Remember when we all played, Tiki, I'm putting you and I in the same category.
Yep, because we are.
we basically, you know, there was a pecking order. Like, you had to wait your time. When you went to college as a freshman.
That's right.
You didn't expect to start. Nope. You were like, you had to wait your time.
And earn it.
These guys don't believe that. They don't think that way anymore. Yeah. They're already in high school thinking about being a pro. They've already got the mindset. That Jamal Murray's article kind of speaks to that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. No, you're right.
There's it was a good article.
That they have in themselves at a much younger age, so when they get to the big stage and they're more prepared. You asked me about my son. Like, they're more prepared for this stuff because they experienced the exposure in the 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th grade. And I said this to a friend of mine. I said, you know, my son is probably more popular today than I was as a rookie coming off one of the best college teams ever.
Wow.
Than they knew me at that point.
Hey, Greg, he also benefits because you're his dad. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's kind of like if you look at football, like Pat Mahomes benefited because of his dad.
Yeah,
right?
We don't talk about all the prospects like we do Cole because we don't know all of their dads, to Tiki's point.
Yeah.
No, but I hear what you're saying too, Greg.
Yeah, you're right. Real quick, because we have about a minute and a half here, Greg. James Harden is on this ridiculous streak right now. I mean, 20 straight games of 30-plus. They're 14-6 during this stretch. Well, it's not that it's sustainable, but is it good for the Rockets? Like, the ball movement has slowed down a ton. He's killing the court in front of him. You watch some of these games, win or lost. Nobody else in the starting lineup has double figures. Is this good for them?
Well, there's a reason why those other guys don't get double figures, because they're not double figure scorers. Okay, so like Diggy, like if you got a football team and you don't have any ability to run the football, but you got Pat Mahomes, think he's gonna throw it 50 times?
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
like,
I hear you.
What else are they? How else are they gonna win?
Gotcha.
There are three other top players. Basically, Paul is out.
Yeah,
Capella's out. Gordon was out. So who else is going to score for him?
Yeah.
What's scary is that he's able to do it when you know that they don't have those other guys. You know, I mean, that to me is what's most impressive. You go into a game plan against the Rockets knowing, look, we just got to contain him. Everybody else is basically just a spot-up shooter. And they still can't stop him.
Yeah.
So,
it's
I mean,
amazing.
Like, they don't have a choice. What he's done is put them in a position. Remember, a month ago, 5 weeks ago, when Chris Paul went down, everyone broke their bones.
It's true.
They were, like, the 11th seed. Now all of a sudden they're right in the thick of it, and eventually those guys will come back. And so he's basically got to carry the load until those guys get back if they want to have any chance. Again, like I said, they're like everybody else. They're saying, man, yeah, Golden State. Who else can beat us four times if we're healthy and we're right?
Yeah.
That's what's going to make it so, I think, intriguing as we get to the second half of the season and start working on that playoff seed.
Definitely a lot of things to be settled. Greg, we got to bounce. But, of course, Greg Turner, sports NBA analyst, Greg Anthony. Tune in tomorrow, 7 Eastern. Find out the 2019 All-Stars, the starters, the captains, followed by the Warriors and the Wizards, and, of course, the T-Wolves and the Lakers. And check Greg out on TNT's Tuesday NBA coverage, which begins next week, January 29th. Greg, we appreciate you, buddy. Thank you.
Oh, all right, guys. Be good.
Be good, Greg.
Back at you. A little late. We'll get Axe update. But coming up after that, why I believe the Lakers really need to be incredibly aggressive to match LeBron's timeline. I've got a plan. Let's kick it around, see if it might make a little sense for the Lakers to do that. After Axe update, we'll throw it at you. Here's Rich Ackerman.
This is Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
Oh, yeah. 24th comeback. Mars Solo. All right, this NFL preview brought to you by the new Ford F-150, the official truck of the NFL. Doesn't just raise the bar, it is the bar. One head coach getting ready for his first Super Bowl, the other getting ready for old hat number 9. What can Sean McVay do to keep pace with Belichick? Does he have to counter? And if he does he have the counter move ready for every one of Belichick's defensive adjustments and all the tricks that he's got? Could we be getting set for the highest scoring Super Bowl ever? That I don't see. All of our questions get answered on Sunday. Rams and the Pats, Super Bowl 53 on CBS in Atlanta.
Yep, not this Sunday, the following Sunday.
Yes, thank you, Teak. This
that would
NFL
be the Pro Bowl this Sunday.
That's right. Is that on CBS, the Pro Bowl?
I don't think so.
What channel is that on? What channel is that on?
I believe it's on the 4-letter network.
Oh, it's on ESPN? All right, good. We're not going to watch it. This NFL preview brought to you by the new Ford F-150, the official truck of the NFL. Doesn't just raise the bar, it is the bar. So Super Bowl 53. I'm heading out, as I said, I don't know, 20, 30 minutes ago. I'm heading out on Sunday. I've got, Sunday's going to be a tight day. Got a little St. John's Georgetown at the Garden at noon. Then get back home, have Jen and the kiddos take me to the airport. And then I'll be out there Sunday night. Teak's coming in on Wednesday. And it's going to be a lot of fun. It'll be a lot of work, but it's going to be awesome. It's what we live for. It's great.
Yeah, Atlanta's, again, it's a weird city because everything's all over the place a little bit down there. Downtown is what it is, but, like, the parties. Because the Super Bowl has become synonymous with, like, parties. And
oh, yeah, it's been like that forever.
And everything else that you go for, even if you don't have a ticket to the game.
Oh, yeah.
It's almost worth going to the city just to be in the festivities. And you see that all the time. Fans are all over the place, even if they're not going to the game. But Atlanta's spread out a little bit where they put some of these parties. And so it gets a little bit difficult, but it's still a good city, especially because the weather generally is nice, except for the last time that it was there and it snowed.
Yes.
And it was miserable.
Yeah, yeah. Dallas got a little snow that one year, some ice, some sleet as well. Minnesota was spread out a little bit.
Very spread out, Minnesota.
But it worked out. This guy, Bob Diso, you know the story. This guy wound up at Prince's crib. He was at Prince's house.
That doesn't surprise me at all. I mean, he probably told nobody.
Yeah, true.
I forgot how I even got invited to that.
True.
Paisley Park. That's what it's called.
True. Justin. Hey, Dick, what'd you do last night? Not much. I was over at Prince's compound hanging out with Justin Timberlake.
What?
Anyway, I'm having beers with a bunch of idiotic journalists. All right, guys. Good night.
You're going to come?
I didn't know about it.
I don't think I knew about it till the day of.
I was still waiting for you to go ice fishing with me. This guy's at Prince's crib.
I told you how we could go ice fishing.
No, I know. I'm just teasing.
I would have loved to have gone ice
fishing. That would have been a cool experience.
BT hasn't done it yet.
I have not done that yet. You did it for the Today Show, right?
It was awesome, dude.
Oh, I want to do that so bad.
Awesome. Well, we'll do it one of these days.
But when?
I don't know. We'll just have to take a vacation.
One of these days.
We'll take a collective vacation from the show. Just have a sign hanging here. It says,
"We're in Montana. Get lost."
It says, "Gone fishing."
Yeah, somewhere in that upper region of the country.
Exactly.
Could be in the Dakotas. Could be in Minnesota.
Even
could
though
be
I'd
down
actually,
in Alaska.
I think I want to. I'd rather take you fly fishing. Which
that's
you,
a totally different vibe, though. That's nice weather. That's you're
that's
actually
exactly
in the stream.
Why.
You got to have the rubber pants
you're
on.
Right.
I'm good with that.
You're right.
I would do either.
Take
you know
six
that.
Pack, stick it in the water.
Oh
dude,
yeah,
awesome.
That's like a commercial, like you know, Bush.
Yeah.
You know,
you're right.
Like just like guys you're catch right. their own lobster or they dude. Catch their own clams and they got a clam bake and they're opening beers. When I hear fly fishing, even though you're not catching lobster, well, I understand that I actually
yeah, I
fish quite
saying.
A bit. You know what I mean? Like that whole dinette outdoors, a little brisket night, got the whiskey flask, got the fire crackling.
It's hot.
Got some good
it's
tunes
hot,
going.
But the water's cold.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, it's amazing.
Oh, man. All right. Well, maybe one of these days we'll do it. All right. Let me get back to LeBron for a sec, right? So Greg was really good. The one thing that I would disagree with a little bit here, and a lot of people are kind of married to this position, which I understand, you know, I guess pragmatically to a degree. He signed for 3 years. He could opt out after the fourth, right? So you said to Greg, you know, nobody knows, and I know that you don't believe this, but what if he falls off the cliff next year? Just to kind of prove, set up your question, right?
Right.
Which is fair. He's not going to, and you know that.
No, not
but
at
what
all.
He can unless do is leave in a couple of years,
unless there's a major injury, which I don't think is going to happen. But
and that would be that would be so sad he's, for his career to end that way. He's not destined for that.
He's been too healthy.
Yep,
and he takes too good a care of his body. For that to happen.
Yeah, he's a machine.
Yeah.
And he is the kind of guy, God forbid, and I don't even want to mention the type of injury. If he ever had that kind of injury, think Kobe, you know, think somewhere right below the thigh, above the ankle, above the shin, you know what I mean?
On the backside.
He would come back. He would come back maybe a different position, maybe a full fledged power forward.
Yeah.
But he would come back and he would still be dominant.
I think
so
you're
we're
right.
gonna see LeBron for a while. It's not when he will diminish and when attrition will set in. That's not what we need to debate because, number one, nobody knows. What we do know is his contract calls for an opt-out after 3 years with the Lakers if he so desires. So what the Lakers need to do, and this is what a lot of people seem to miss, and with all due respect, I think Greg missed it as well a little bit. He said, well, the last thing you want to do is, you know, bring in other guys that, and I understand this somewhat, that would alter your ability to go out and get a premium free agent. I get that, all right? But the other thing you don't want to do is do nothing and waste one of the 3 years you have guaranteed to try to win a championship with LeBron.
Yeah.
See, so you gotta do something.
I'm in the camp that says get this team as good as possible as quickly as possible. I understand that you're trying to make some decisions on some of these young guys, and Greg is right about that. Like we don't know about Brandon Ingram, what he's gonna become. But it's been 3 years now, BT. We're still like, dude, you got to put some ass on, man. You
got to
get thick, man. You got to become more of a...
He's going to be Reggie Miller body his entire life. He's not going to get strong. He might get wiry strong, functionally strong. He's always going to be very
fit.
And
then you look at Lonzo, and you're like, all right, Lonzo, we know that you got some skill. We see it, right? Even you can be the spot-up guy at times. You can do that. But, dude, can you stay healthy?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Kuzma, as I think he's absolutely right, Kuzma is the one guy that's moved forward, that's jumped up a plateau, so to speak, for the Lakers. And if there's one guy that, of those young cats that you're not – doing anything with, it's Kuzma. But absent that, man, everybody else has got to be.
But I'm going to challenge you on that too.
Why
just
that?
The Kuzma part.
Just the Kuzma
part. Because I agree with everything you said, and I love Kuzma.
Yeah.
But if Kuzma can net you back a true star, that again, back to my initial premise, would give you a real chance to win a championship in year one.
Yeah.
You only get three guaranteed years of LeBron. Don't you have to try to win every year?
Yeah, but then you end. It's got to be. But then you end up potentially crushing yourself.
I know.
Post LeBron.
I know you do. Well, but you know what? Lakers always, although this is their most pronounced drought, Lakers always find a way to get in a superstar.
Yeah,
they always find a way to lift themselves from the ashes.
Still,
they're not the Knicks.
Look, maybe they're going to be in the lottery again in the near future, but I don't see it right now. I don't see them being the Los Angeles Lakers with the number two pick in the NBA. I don't see that in the next half a decade. And so if LeBron should leave after 3 years and Kuzma's you've moved him for a big asset and you don't win a championship, they're really stuck, man. They're stuck with their hands, they're handcuffed again.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think the Lakers want to find themselves that way. So they have to find one of these kids that's the developable star and say you're untouchable. Not publicly, but unless you're like wild. You're going to give us Paul George for Kyle Kuzma, then all right, then we'll do that.
Okay. Okay, even if...
But it's got to be that kind of name. Otherwise, it's not worth it.
Okay, I got a solution for you. Maybe. And I think it actually addresses the now, somewhat preserves the future.
Okay.
I like what I'm going to present right here. And it goes back to the Grizzlies for a moment, right? All right, we've had Mike Conley on the show a bunch. We like Mike. Always like Mike.
He's getting...
No disrespect, Mike is not a part of this equation.
Okay.
The Lakers do not need Mike Conley.
And he's making a ton of money.
$30 million this year, $32.5 million next year, and $34.5 the year after that. He's locked in almost $100 million. The Lakers would be it would be reckless to even inquire about Mike Conley. Mm-hmm. Forget about him. They need to go and get Marc Gasol. And I'll tell you why.
Marc Gasol's 35.
Doesn't matter. He's a great passer. He's a terrific passer for a big man, right? He's got a player option of $25 million next season, which, by the way, I think there's a pretty good chance he's going to opt out because I think somebody is going to give him, I'm not saying max, but if I'm Marc Gasol, granted, my numbers are dipping a little bit. I don't like that 43% field goal percentage. He's too skilled to, five assists a game for a big man.
That's right.
Five assists.
That's right.
And you don't need Conley because LeBron's going to handle the rock anyway.
You're right.
So can Hart and so can Lonzo.
Yeah, so unless he was a scorer, which he is, but he's not.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you don't interrupt what you're asking LeBron to do by getting Marc Gasol, but you are creating a window of now much more than you would.
Yeah.
And you're also somewhat preserving tomorrow, so it's not a reckless move.
Yeah. I mean,
I think it satisfies both.
Well, it
ends.
Makes sense because
for Marc Gasol,
you're not giving up Kyle Kuzma.
Nope.
You don't need to.
Nope.
Maybe it's Lonzo.
I give you a protected first round pick. I'll kick that down the road. Whatever.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah.
That could work because they're actually active. I mean, we now know they're actively trying to move both of these guys. The rebuild is coming for the Memphis Grizzlies. And Mike Conley, who at one point was the highest paid player in NBA, which is crazy.
We had him on right when he signed that contract.
You're right. Because, I love the kid because I knew his dad. His dad was a triple jumper. He was a great triple jumper.
That's right.
So I have a somewhat of affinity for him being a track and field guy.
Yeah, I remember when you said that too.
I was happy for him. It was short-lived. It was what it was as the highest paid player in basketball. And then he's battled some injuries as well, season-ending injuries over the last couple of years. So, I mean, he's a good player, good locker room guy. He's a good dude, right? The question is, though, would he be the right guy for the right at that number for the Lakers? No. Gasol? I could see that working.
Especially since there's a player option.
You're right.
Now, I will at least say this about Mike. There could be an avenue for another team to acquire him, a team that's in that, the Warriors don't need him. The Celtics aren't going to get him. Sixers probably aren't. But you know, one of those teams that I mentioned, maybe the Pacers or maybe the Thunder, or I'm just throwing teams out, the Utah Jazz, whatever, where if you, again, that number is an ugly number, and $100 million next 3 years for Mike Conley is not palatable if I'm running the team. It is if I'm going to be able to dump some salary that's going to still save Memphis some money,
yes,
which will satisfy their demand to salary dump and move on. But it won't compromise my cap, but it does give me an infusion of a pretty good player for the now.
Agreed.
So I think that the Memphis duo is incredibly interesting and could be influential on who wins the championship this year.
Could be.
These guys behind this can play, man.
I know they can.
They're not scrubs.
No, you're right.
And this guy can pass. You get him on the right system, hitting, cutting, you know, guys behind the three-point stripe and spacing. You get him with some shooters, it's going to be interesting. All right, this guy's a straight shooter. Bruce Arians. We got Bruce. Now he's in charge of fixing Jameis Winston. He's with us next on Tiki and Tierney.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.